Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight's message is entitled Living with Purpose. And one of the things that has kind of sparked me, even here recently this week, and kind of caused me to go this direction tonight, was I recognized this weekend, Amy and I, we went to her 10-year reunion. And so just crazy to think about, Amy's now been out of high school for 10 years, and you know, here we went to the 10-year reunion. And then I remembered that it was 4 years ago already. It happened so fast. 4 years ago was my 10-year reunion. I'm just thinking, man, time passes so fast. And that, in some ways, can just be tragic if we're not careful. And I can remember being at my 10-year reunion, and then just even being at Amy's here this weekend, and just thinking about how quickly 10 years just passes. It's just such a blink of time, and how I just want to be so certain of my own heart that I don't let 10 years pass aimlessly. And as I was able to interact with, you know, some old friends from Amy's high school time, and just even remembering back to the 10-year reunion that's already been 4 years ago, that blows my mind that was 4 years. In fact, Amy and I were in a colorful conversation about whether it had really been 4 years, and I was trying to make sure she understood that I was right and she was wrong. It had been 4 years. And because it was just unbelievable that we had just gone to my 10-year reunion. It seems like last summer or something, or last, you know, fall, and it's been 4 years. Anyway, the reason I'm just harping on this point is because I'm just so shocked about how quickly the time goes. And as I was able to interact with some of my friends then and some of Amy's friends, you know, this weekend, I'm just in my heart just wondering, in this generation where there's so much aimlessness, there's so much just bebopping around, I mean, just living life without any direction, how many of those at that 10-year reunion would look back on the last 10 years of their life and look back at those 10 years with a reflection of, I lived purposely for Jesus? And how many of them at a 10-year mark, you know, maybe they came to know the Lord in, you know, their high school days. Maybe some of you came to know the Lord. Most people who accept Christ in our culture do so before the age of 18. Maybe you look back on the last 10 years and have doubts or worry in your heart about how you spent that time, whether it was intentional or whether it was aimless. We live in this generation that it's just passing so quickly. Just it's fading. The measure of attention that people are giving in their lives to their future, to who they are, to what they're really about. We live in a culture that is so fighting for our attention, that's so trying to steal away every free moment, that's so trying to captivate us and capture us into agendas that may or may not be for the Lord. And as I was, you know, visiting with just some of these, you know, believers, I'm wondering, and I don't know because I haven't spent much time with them lately. I'm just wondering, would they say of the last 10 years of their life that they were intentional? Or would they look back on the last 10 years of their life and be, you know, wondering in their heart, have they lived aimlessly? And obviously, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. It just triggered me. Just being at a 10-year reunion and just the power of that 10 number. I mean, a decade. Gone. Woo. Good or bad, it's gone. That decade's over. Just reminded me again about how I just so want my own heart to live with intentionality. To live with purpose. To know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And to give my attentions towards the Lord for the next 10 years that I wouldn't look up 10 years from now and wish that I had lived differently. I wish that I had given myself with more intentional. As I have been able to talk with some friends, you know, over the years, it's so clear that the aimlessness is not just the lost world. It's also inside the church. There is such a aimlessness about our generation, living with no real purpose in mind, with no real goals in mind. In fact, I think if you ask most people, even believers, if you ask most people, what they're living for. Say, why are you alive? What are you living for? I think you'd probably get a lot of I'm not sures. You know, I don't know, not real sure, never really thought about it. I think maybe you'd get some that would have the answer defined, and that the answer would just be so American. The answer would be so American dream, so just aimless. Nothing to do with Jesus necessarily. Maybe it'd be, I don't know, I just want to have more fun. I want to get a better job. I want to have a big family. There's nothing wrong with fun, family, or a job. It's just not what we're on the planet for. It's just not our purpose in life. It's just not the main thing that we were put here for. And I just am stirred tonight to just bring us the most simple message again, that maybe we need these resetters every short bit of time to remind us about why we're doing what we're doing and to give us a little bit of perspective. The simplest breakdown, as you well know, is that when we were brought into the kingdom, things shifted for us, and that we're no longer living for temporal things. So those answers, I'm living for my job, I'm living for, you know, to have more fun, or to, you know, meet this, you know, list of expectations that I want to have in my life, those things worked when we were lost. But they can't be our primary purpose anymore. When we were brought into the kingdom, things shifted, and really it barrels down, if you just want to get into the simplicity of it, we really have a new twofold assignment that's to be the center vision of our lives. It's just a simple twofold vision assignment. And it's out of place for these two things to merely be on the list. And that's what I'm just convicted of again. They're on my list, but they're not the list. Everything else is to be secondary. These two things, they're on my list. They're on your list. But it's not enough for them to be on the list of what we're doing, what our purpose is. They're to be the absolute center core of what we're about, what we're doing, how we're spending our lives and our energy. And I'm convicted again in my own heart that while they're on the list, they're not my center point. I want to get refocused. And so part of this is me preaching to myself tonight and you guys getting to sit in on it. The two things, simple. Our priority in every season of our life, no matter the transitions, no matter the this is and the that's, the primary objective in every season is to know Him and to do His will. Everything else is so secondary. The primary reason for our existence is to know Him and then to serve Him, to do whatever it is that He wants. And service can look like a thousand things. It can look like a lot of the secondary objectives. Have this job, go to that school, do this task. But we can't live for this task or that school or that relationship. I mean, my life cannot be, the main focus of my existence cannot be that I'm a dad or a husband. That is a part of my assignment in life, but that is not my primary purpose on planet Earth. And I think it's really easy for all of us to let the secondary objectives that are valuable, that are God-given, creep into first place. But we were created to know Him and to do His will. And it's not enough that those things are on the list. That's supposed to be our center, our being, our purpose. And as I'm just remembering again, oh yeah, it's really easy for, I'm just going to take it easy for a weekend, for a week, for a month. A month turns into a year, and a year turns into a 10-year reunion. A 10-year reunion with that moment that we stopped pursuing number one and those two objectives as our center. To know Him and then to serve Him, whatever He says. It's so easy to just be a Christian. Just show up. Just have Christianity in our life. Read the Bible a little. Talk about Jesus a little. Think about Jesus a little. Pray at mealtime. It's so easy to settle in. And our culture calls that radical. It's so easy, but we were created. We were saved. We were brought into the kingdom to know Him and to live for Him all the days of our life. A few little takeaways tonight. And identify, hopefully in our own hearts, each one of us, identify aimlessness is our unintentional default. It's just so easy to just slide back into aimlessness. Well, why are you living? Well, I knew why I was living a month ago. I was charged up about Christ. I knew why I was here. I did. Why are you living now? I'm living now for my favorite TV show. No, that's the wrong answer. I'm living now for the hope that I'm really going to have this awesome relationship transition in my life. No, that's probably not the right answer. It's so easy to settle into these secondary things. It's so easy. But the default, if we don't war against it, is to become aimless, to become purposeless, to lose time, to just flat lose time that we're going to look back on actually with regret. That we'll look back on and go, oh, how I wish I would have spent that time pursuing Christ, knowing Him, and then serving Him, serving His purposes in the earth, serving His objectives for my life, His destiny over me, His purposes in this city, His desires for this generation. How I wish I had given myself to those two things, but instead I peddled my time away on so many other things that are fine. They're just not why we're here. Oh, I just want to be recharged tonight. So one is to identify that aimlessness, if you can't in a moment go, oh no, I'm chasing. If you can't in a moment, I want to just challenge you that aimlessness might have already settled in a little. And let's just challenge it tonight. Let's challenge aimlessness and war against it. Second is to refocus ourselves because we so easily lose sight of what matters. And then hopefully we're going to have a time of prayer at the end. And I just want us in that time so you can kind of ramp up, you know, get yourself a little bit. You're going to have a few minutes there, kind of be thinking throughout the time of teaching tonight what it is that you want to spend that prayer time about with the Lord. I want to actually get us to define again our life vision. I want you in your own words to be able to define it, to pray it back to the Lord, maybe write it down. Why are you on this planet? What are you supposed to be doing as it pertains to knowing Him and serving Him, serving His purposes? You know, the issue really is that our appetites war against us. Our appetites war against us, and our own bored hearts wage war against us too. So we've got two things that are striking against us that make it easy for us to just fall into secondary objectives. Other things, lesser things, temporal things, things that are fine. I'm not even talking about sin. Just not Christ. Not knowing Him. Not pursuing His purposes for our lives. Just 10,000 other things that are fine. There's something in our heart that just has such an appetite for those things. And there's also something in our heart that's just such a dullness that we've got to fight through. Because it does take a little bit of fighting through to care about the things that matter most. And if we're not careful, we just lose that battle because we lay down. I've been guilty of it. Laying down and just letting my own appetites, again, nothing sinful, just dull. Letting my own appetites win over the affections of my heart. Letting my own dullness of heart keep me from the Word. Keep me from pursuit. Keep me from hungering and thirsting. Just the appetites in my dullness. And I think if it's me, it's probably you too. But it comes in waves. The Lord's grace comes in a service sometimes. You just get so charged. Just got so much energy to pursue Jesus. And it's the kindness of the Lord. And I pray that He'd bring that kindness as a wave of mercy to us tonight. It's the kindness of the Lord to spark the heart, to give a little kindle of fire. In a moment of dullness, in a moment of boredom, in a moment where we weren't expecting it, to just give a little kindle, a little spark, to cause our hearts to pursue. There's just a grace. It's like the Lord looks at our dry twigs and hay, and He just lights it on fire with just a little twig, a little kindle of fire. But that it's our job to fan that thing into flame. And that we so often, if we're not careful, we miss those opportunities when the Lord's wind, when His grace comes and gives us that opening, that open door. It doesn't happen every moment of our life. It doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every service. It doesn't happen every prayer meeting or every time you open the Word. But there are times when the Lord gives that as a mercy. And I just want us to capitalize on it tonight, because I think for many of us, the Lord is going to bring that spark tonight. and give us that little bit of motivation, that little bit of strength to pursue with a renewed focus the things that the Lord has for us and even the depth of relationship to know this man Jesus. Paul said this. He was actually mocking the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, he's talking about this attitude of our heart that we all know so well. We just want to settle in to the comfortable. We just want to settle in to all the mundane things in life. And Paul said this, he's quoting them, says, "You say," if you will, "I have the right to do anything I want, you say." And Paul retorts back, "But not everything is beneficial. So why would you even want to do some things? Why would you even want to do so many of the things that, yeah, you're right, you have the right to it, but is it good for you? Is it helpful? Is it strengthening? Is it encouraging? Does it build you in Christ? Does it build your life in God? Yeah, you have the right to it, but it's not beneficial." And then he says again, quoting them again, "I have the right to do anything. Yeah, but don't be mastered by it. Don't give yourself to other pleasures. Don't give yourself to just the temporal pleasures of this life in a way that winds up causing you to be mastered by them, where they actually own your heart's affections instead of the Lord. Where all these other things that, again, I'm not even talking about sin. Don't sin. So now I don't have to say that anymore. Stop sinning. Let's all stop sinning. Ready? Break. Okay. But the second point is that the Lord desires not only that we would overcome sin, but that we would overcome mediocrity, overcome boredom of heart, overcome just the anything. The question is it beneficial? Is it helpful for us? And Paul said, "But I'll not be mastered by it." Now, Paul's also the one that talked about, and he told Timothy, he said, everything's to be received so long as it can be received with thanksgiving. That's fine. I don't think Paul was a don't do anything fun kind of a guy. I don't read that. Instead, I see him as one with wisdom to be temperate and to say, I will not allow these things, however enjoyable they might be, to master me, to master my heart, to own me. I will not allow these things to have more power over me than the Word of God, than the truth of Christ, than a time of worship, than the love, the passionate love that draws us closer to Christ. You know, it goes without saying, but because we're talking about it, I'll say it. Night like this, where we intentionally refocus on the Lord, it's a time to reassess what we're doing, what we're giving ourselves to, what we're spending our time with. I just would encourage us to throw off the things that are hindering our walk with the Lord. For some of us, we could probably stand to uproot some things entirely out of our lives. There's some things, and only you, Holy Spirit, speak to each heart tonight. Only you and the Lord are going to know what those things are, and really don't let anybody else tell you what those things are unless it's a sin issue. You need to hear from the Holy Spirit. And there are some things, I would just bet, in all of our lives that probably could just be uprooted entirely, and that would be better for us. And then there are some things in each of us that it might be good to put some limitations on. Just to be intentional. Some limitations, self-imposed. Then there might also be some things that you want to make some solemn commitments to the Lord about. Ways that you're going to spend yourself and give yourself to. That nobody can do to you or for you. But just an intentional pursuit. Because I think that there are things in our lives that creep in so unintentionally, so even in the midst of a culture that is so honoring to the Lord and so pursuing Him in the place of prayer, it's so easy for these things to creep in. Just want to remind us of a few offers from the Lord. And then we'll spend a little bit of time in worship towards the end here. A short message tonight. He's got an offer to us. I just want us to be reminded. So even as I read this, maybe you just pray it. Maybe you just repeat it in your own heart and ask the Lord for Him to speak it over you. Revelation 3:20. Christ calls out to us. says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and they with me." It's the Lord saying, "I'm standing at the door of your heart. I'm knocking. I long to come in and dine with you, but you must let me in." Times of sweet fellowship, devotion to Jesus. He's so kind. Sometimes I wish he'd just beat that door down. But he doesn't. He stands outside and he knocks. Loud enough for us to hear it, but not so hard that the door falls in. He stands at the door and knocks. It's an invitation. It's an invitation that we've always had. It's an invitation we've said yes to before. This isn't an invitation about salvation. This is an invitation into the depths of intimate fellowship with Jesus. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with them and they with me." He says in John 7:38 that whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, there are available rivers of living water to flow from within them. Has it been a while since you felt those rivers of living water? Has it been a while since you felt that the rushing water, the current of his nearness? The living water that's promised, it's the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. But not just the presence of the Spirit there dormant, the presence of the Spirit with us engaged with the Lord. Rivers of living water. It shouldn't be that we're bored. It shouldn't be. I admit, I get bored. But it shouldn't be. There's available to us the presence of the living waters of Christ available to us at any time. But it does require that we engage it. Again, believe in Jesus as the scriptures say. It's not just, I believe in Jesus. It is a pursuit. The scriptures describe a personal relationship that is tied to us pursuing him, knowing the indwelling Christ by his Spirit inside of us is about a pursuit. To believe in him as the scriptures say, it's talking about a pursuit, a life of pursuing Jesus. And when we do, and we can all remember. Some of us may be in that season right now, but all of us are not so far away from remembering when our hearts were pursuing and engaging Jesus and we were feeling those living waters rushing through us and the joy of the Lord guarding us and strengthening us. Psalm 37:4, the psalmist, just this language is just so awesome. You guys know it. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Taste and see that the Lord, like an hors d'oeuvre, a delicious hors d'oeuvre. Taste and see. And that if by that taste you see that he's good, then do more than just taste. Then take refuge in him. Don't just take that bite and go, "Ooh, that Lord, you are good." Next, settle in. Allow the taste. Allow that moment where the Spirit sparks you. Allow that moment where you're reading the Word and the Word just comes alive. Allow that moment where you taste and you see and you feel the presence and the goodness of the Lord. Allow that to make a shift in your life, that you're not one who just tastes, that you're one that takes refuge. Because the blessing is for those that take refuge in the Lord, not merely those that taste. The taste and see is an invitation to come and take refuge. To come and eat at that table regularly. I'm praying right now that the Lord, as I've been preparing for this message, that the Lord is going to speak to each one of us, even through this verse, about what that needs to look like in our lives. I mean, I could come up with a bunch of list of ideas. You guys already know the ideas. It's not a list tonight. It's an engaged conversation with the Lord. It says, "Lord, help me to taste and see. Help me to take that taste and then to make you my refuge." You know, my car has this tendency, you guys probably, some of you too, you guys with those fancy new cars may not know. My car has a tendency sometimes, wheel starts wobbling. Blah, 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 blah. You let go of the wheel, it starts going way left. It gets out of alignment. And I take you to my mechanic buddy, and I don't know what the heck that guy does, but whatever he does, it fixes it. I go in there for an alignment, you know, $30 later or whatever it is, the thing works. And there are just times in our walk, and I think more often is better than less often. There are times in our walk where we need that realignment. Things start to wobble a little bit. Things get a little bit out of walk, a little bit out of whack, a little off kilter. And just that realignment. And I'm hoping that tonight is that recalibration for you. Just that reminder, simple message, but that reminder, oh, Lord, what am I living for? What am I truly living for? What is my time? What do the affections of my heart say about what I'm living for? And that tonight we'd just be able to get serious again about our walks with Christ. That we'd just be able to realign and say, ooh, I'm going after you. I don't want years to go by where I wasted it on so many other things. I want for the mark of my life, I think each of you are the same, the mark of our lives to be, I spent this year pursuing the knowledge of this man, Jesus. I spent this year being intentional about my time to know him better. I spent this year seeking him and allowing him to wash over me, refine me, and draw me nearer to him. I spent this year pursuing the things that I knew he wanted me to give my time to. I spent this year serving in his kingdom to accomplish the things that he wants done in the earth in this generation. I just don't want to let that time fly by. Hope here tonight is that we'd be able to focus our lives again. Just a realignment, recalibration. If we're looking for the simple answer, I'll just tell you this. If you just want the simplicity, if you want to get right down to it, what we're talking about tonight is time. We're talking about how we spend our time. How are we scheduling our time? How much free time do we permit ourselves? You know, we live in a culture that's doing the exact opposite of what we're actually called to do. We live in a culture that says, do as little as possible so that you have as much free time as possible. And in that free time, be free. And we live in a culture that is so inundated with that concept. Do whatever you have to do for as short amount of time in a given, you know, week as possible so that you have as much free time as possible and then just kind of blow around. Just live freely. Do whatever. Scripture knows nothing of that concept. That is so completely about self and so little about what the Lord's purposes are. The problem is we live in that culture, and that concept, whether we like it or not, infiltrates the way we think and process. The Lord's not after us having all kinds of gobs of free time. The Lord is after us investing our time in Him and in His purposes. Now, if you're trying to free up as much free time from your responsibilities so that you have as much free time as possible to use to pursue Him and to pursue His purposes, well, good. That's great. That's awesome. I just find it in my own heart, fighting for more free time to pursue whatever I want, whatever I want to do, however I want to spend my time, my money, my affections. And the Lord's perspective is so different. At the end of this, it's a blink. I just went to a 10-year reunion right after a 10-year reunion. I mean, it is scarifying that time passes so fast. And at the end, we stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account of our time. And the angels, I'm just imagining their perspective. They're doing what with their free time? Do they know who you are? Have they ever seen you? No, they've never seen me. Well, go down there and show them who you are. If they knew who you were, they would not be spending their time like that. I want to see it now. I want to have a revelation now. I don't want to stand up there and have the angels look at me funny. I want a revelation now. I want clarity now of who this man is and the worth of pursuing him and his purposes and his objectives. But I wouldn't waste my time. I wouldn't waste myself down here. The question, are we intentionally investing our time to know him and to serve his purposes? Andrew, why don't you come up? Let's do a song or two of worship here in a minute. I was trying unsuccessfully completely because she's 11 months old and she does what she wants. I was trying to read JC the Three Little Pigs the other day. And I was just like having an encounter with the Lord in the middle of the Three Little Pigs. Do you know that guy built a house out of straw? That little pig? He built a house out of straw. He spent money on straw. He spent time building it. And then he sat in there, at least in the little artist depiction thing that I had, he sat in there all proud of himself as that wolf's about to eat that fool. He was all proud of himself, like, I've built this house of straw. I'm invincible, friend. And this wolf just looks at him like he's stupid. He can probably see through the straw. And JC's all squirming. I'm like, no, you need to know this one. JC, listen. This is a very important life message here. And I just realize how easy it is, guys, to build our life out of straw. And that picture in Corinthians of everything is going to burn up before the Lord that's burnable. All the straw. This little pig invests his time, his life, his energy, his money, his confidence in straw. And the big bad wolf just blows it away. Satan's laughing at some of the ways that we're building on the foundation that Christ has given us to know him. I'm just looking at this going, oh, Jesus. Don't let me invest in straw that's just going to blow away and leave me wanting. Yeah, it was a little house. Yeah, he built it. Yeah, he put time into it. It was worthless. It was worthless because of what he built out of. I don't want to be caught there. Be like that little pig. Poor little pig. And, you know, days, they quickly turn into weeks, guys. I just, you blink and you lose a month. You lose 6 months. You lose a year. You find yourself going, my heart's really not quite as engaged as I'd like it to be. Yeah, I'm going to those prayer meetings, but I'm just sitting in the room. I'm kind of just making it through life. I'm just kind of going to my job. I'm just kind of doing my tasks. I'm just kind of going to small group. I kind of pray a little because I know it's right. I just, man, let's get a fire under us. Let's ask God for fire to cleanse us, to refine us, to fix the complacency in our hearts. Let's war against that complacency like it's the big bad wolf standing outside of our door. Let's war against that complacency that weeks wouldn't turn into months, into years, into a decade, and we look back and go, oh, I've wasted myself. I've wasted it. I just kind of showed up. I just kind of was a Christian. What in the world does that even mean? That doesn't mean anything. We were created to pursue him, to know him, and to do his will. And everything else is just extra empty calories. It's just fluff. It's all going to blow away. Oh, I just want to seek him. I just want to pursue him. Have you gotten sloppy in your pursuit of knowing him? Have you gotten sloppy in your pursuit of the man? Have you gotten sloppy in your pursuit of knowing Jesus more today than you did yesterday? Repent. Call it sin. Repent of it. Ask God for grace. Ask God for a fire tonight. I think he wants to give grace tonight. I do. I feel like tonight can be a shifter, a realignment, and an awakening. Just ask for it. Even if I'm wrong, ask God for it anyway. Let's ask God to break in tonight, to fix the complacency in our hearts, to call us deeper into him.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.